Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on the Orion Talk Radio Network. I got dogs barking here. Sorry, it's out of my control. But anyway, you're listening to Light of Day on Saturday night, November. Bad time, JD. It's a 8:45. I got a friend visiting. Yeah, we're live Saturday night, November 6, 2010. Welcome to the Light of Day. We're going to be playing a 47-track MP3 soundbite playlist here. We'll probably cover most of the next hour and a half or two. Then I'll get into some Earth Changes news and what's been happening on the sun as we go into the third hour. So if any of you folks want to go to my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, I have John DiNardo and Gilbert Erickson's interview on Gianni Hayes' show archived there. It's on the Archives Miscellaneous subpage, and they were a guest on Gianni Hayes' A New World Order Disorder show on last Wednesday and 2 Wednesdays ago, so you might want to check that out. Anyway, you're listening to the Light of Day. I think I've done something like 32 or 33 shows now. We're going to get right into these sound bites, and please enjoy them. Got to say they're pretty good. Some of them are cuts from old sound bites I made, and some are brand new that you haven't heard yet.
Sorry, folks, having technical problems here. I got the CD player on. Everything's inputted into the mixer board. Volume level's up on the mixer, and for some reason, I'm not getting any stream here. I'm trying to figure it out, so just bear with me, please. Well, I don't have no idea what is going on here. Somebody obviously doesn't want me playing this tonight, because it is not coming through here. You're listening to Light of Day. We're live Saturday night, November 6, 2010. I'm going to have to take a look at my onboard Windows mixer here. Maybe something happened there. Anyway, we're trying to get the problem solved as I speak. You know, everything looks the way it should be going on here. Coming through as I play the mic, but on the microphone here, but the CD player isn't going out for some reason.
Well, I know how I have everything set here. It's...
Anyway, hey Jimmy, if you're at home, you might want to play some music here because I can't figure out what's going on here. Anyway, listening to Live Day on Orion, we're live and having severe technical problems here. No idea what's going on, but the sound from my CD player, which is plugged into my mixer board, is not outputting into the network for some reason. Well, I'll be going to break here before I know it, and the sun will also be coming up pretty soon. Hopefully we'll have this fixed by the time the sun gets up. Anyway, Sean, I know you're monitoring. I appreciate the Skype messages here. Well, I suppose I don't know what to say here. I mean, everything is set just right. This is really baffling. It's planned. I have a friend here also helping me try to figure this out, but you know, everything is set just right. Apparently somebody doesn't want Sean was on the air before there were cutouts going on, like there'd be 10 to 15 second gaps where I wouldn't hear him talking. I know Jimmy has a little bit of a different setup there at the network. He's got new computers running or something. Hopefully he'll be home here in a few minutes so you can check that out. But well, there's the first break. We'll be back listening to Light of Day and Orion. Stay tuned. Okay, folks, you're listening to the Light of Day. I might have solved the technical problem I have, and I think I just had a loose connector here on my CD player. I also have a friend here trying to help me out here. I've got a friend visiting. We're going to try this again and see if it goes through. Here it is. Let's try it again, folks.
We are now aware of a very large solar system, and there seems to be a historical recurrence of this object. Some people call it Nibiru, Planet X.
Between now and 2013, the Earth will experience horrific cataclysms and at an ever-increasing pace will be the result of a large object generically referred to as Planet X, and it will soon pass through the core of our solar system. This object was first observed in 1983 by NASA's Infrared Astronomical Satellite, more commonly known as IRAS, and was reported in the September 10, 1984 edition of U.S. News and World Report. Many times the size of Earth, it is very large and dark and dusty, and will not be visible to the naked eye for a few years. When it does, it will appear in the sky like a smaller second sun before it leaves the core of our system. While man-made pollution does aggravate global warming, the inconvenient omission is really dealing with the interaction between the Sun and Planet X. You see, it is the Sun that is the principal engine of global warming.
This is how the powers that be that are in the know are dealing with this information. Sometimes it slips out, and then they do their best to try to cover their tracks afterwards.
So where is the government in all of this? Aren't they supposed to protect us? We're the taxpayers. They have a defense department that's supposed to defend us. Why hasn't the government notified us that these terrible times are coming? Well, imagine if you were in their shoes. What would you say to people? We're not going to be able to feed you. We're not going to be able to protect you. Masses of people will die. But please pay your taxes anyway. They don't tell you because they don't have a plan. They also don't want to create panic. Up until the last minute, when they're sure this is going to happen and that nothing can be done, they don't want to be the cause of panic. bank failures, people failing to go to their jobs, industry grinding to a halt. They feel that at least now things are rolling and the wheels of commerce and the like are continuing. So basically, they just don't know how to tell you it's terrible news. They have no solution. They don't want to cause panic. So paralysis sets in and nothing is said.
Is it not possible that the government does know more than they are telling us, with theories such as Roswell and aliens visiting us, that there could also be threats from outside our solar system, which we're now being made aware of subtly, like through the movies and media like Deep Impact or Armageddon, or NASA releasing information saying that an asteroid could whack us in 2028 or thereabouts? It's making the public privy to this information so that they have a case history of events to desensitize us to this information. So that when instantly there is something new in the skies or in the heavens, we're not freaking out.
We need to be accounted worthy because these events are going to be massive. No one that has lived in the last 3,600 years has experienced anything. I will give you a scenario before I'm through as to what scientists and astronomers think that it will do to the Earth based upon what it did the last time this planet came by. The controllers of the media, I'm talking about the ones who are working for world government, who hit up the money markets of the world, and the world's government leaders are very fully aware of what's about to happen. They're prepared. Keeping this story out of the major media was very important because it will, when it reaches the people's understanding, it will collapse the world's economy. People will quit working and say, well, what's the use? We're all doomed anyway. The stock markets will crash. Real estate prices will plummet and go to the bottom. You won't be able to give away anything. It'll cost the economy billions and trillions of dollars, and then it will cost millions and billions of lives on planet Earth if what these scientists and astronomers are saying is correct. In 1983, Planet X, or the 10th planet, was spotted by the infrared astronomical satellite that was put up by NASA. And then there's been a complete blackout ever since concerning this particular event. X is now so close that they can't cover it up anymore. That's why the Newsweek for December 7th, the year 2002, showed it and for the first time admitted that it was another planet.
United States government, continuity of government, contingency planning. Continuity of government, contingency planning. Is the government's plan, by the way, these types of plans been in effect since Eisenhower was president, at least. Originally during the Cold War, these plans called for continuity of government to continue the federal government after a nuclear attack. What's on the plate right now is not nuclear attack, but earth change. Continuity of government contingency planning has to be done in 2 months, December 31st, 2009. Now, keep in mind, the original plan was to be done by December 31st, 2010. They found out they don't have that much time. The logistics involved in moving tens of thousands of government employees, their spouses, children, household goods, pets, is a breathtaking logistical nightmare. To move it closer to us, I should say, in time by one full calendar year was a monumental job to undertake, and they undertook it, and I think for the most part they're done. Professor McKinney agrees with myself, he and I are in agreement, that we don't have until 2012 before Earth changes basically shut down normal commerce as we know it. And it's no, there's no specific date. It's a time frame. And the time frame starts getting a lot more dangerous, shall we say, beginning in January of 2010. It will be an incremental matter with more frequent and more violent weather-related events, more frequent. United States government, continuity of government, contingency planning. Continuity of government, contingency planning. Is the government's plan, by the way, these types of plans have been in effect since Eisenhower was president, at least. Originally during the Cold War, these plans called for continuity of government to continue the federal government after a nuclear attack. What's on the plate right now is not nuclear attack, but earth change. Continuity of government contingency planning has to be done in 2 months, December 31st, 2009. Now, keep in mind, the original plan was to be done by December 31st, 2010. They found out they don't have that much time. The logistics involved in moving tens of thousands of government employees, their spouses, children, household goods, pets, is a breathtaking logistical nightmare. To move it closer to us, I should say, in time by one full calendar year was a monumental job to undertake, and they undertook it, and I think for the most part they're done. Professor McKinney agrees with myself, he and I are in agreement, that we don't have until 2012 before Earth changes basically shut down normal commerce as we know it. And it's no, there's no specific date. It's a time frame. And the time frame starts getting a lot more dangerous, shall we say, beginning in January of 2010. It will be an incremental matter with more frequent and more violent weather-related events, more frequent and more violent seismic events, volcanism, and, of course, rising ocean levels at some point.
As to what the elite may be preparing for, and what that is, it's hard to say. It could be any number of scenarios. We don't really know. Of course, there are certainly possibilities of the 10th planet, some sort of cosmic event, the Nemesis stars we discussed before possibly having some sort of role in this. It's very difficult to say, but all the information is certainly very intriguing, and it leads to something that they are preparing for. I don't think there's any question about that, and you can draw your own conclusions as to what that is.
In case of a major situation where a comet, I'm talking specifically about a large comet in the sky, the population has realized this. This comet is not going away. It's ever present on everybody's mind. The evening news is trying to talk about other things, and the only thing that people want to know is what is that thing and what's doing up there. And we don't think it's no little dirty snowball, and we want to know where it's going. And we know that there's people out there that knew this thing was coming in, and we know that they know where it's going. And we're tired of the phony answers. And like I say, a lot of people will realize this on their own, and they're going to want on their own to get out. That's where you bring in all of the Homeland Security, the FEMA, the containment of the population, and that's where I would predict that if the government was going to unleash biowarfare and then contain the cities, that's when they would do that. For sure. So you start to see the scenario. You start to see all the laws that have been placed in front of you. Given this scenario of the ever-present comet someday in the future, or looking back to the past, one can well imagine that there's a lot of containment going on by the leaders of the world. The only way they can contain the public at this point would be by force, because a lot of the people would be saying to themselves, that government up there in Washington, D.C. is not going to be able to help me. This is too big an issue. A lot of people would realize that even if they had an invitation to a cave city, it's not exactly where they want to be. So you're going to have people trying to escape, trying to go into the country, trying to build a primitive existence because they know that that's their only hope of survival. Why do you think there's been a tremendous amount of planning to contain people in the cities?
He got back with me a week or two later and said, John, it's exactly what you said it is. The federal government's known about this since 1979, this being the 10th planet. And they've been tracking it ever since and preparing for it ever since. They sent the Pioneer 10 space probe up looking for this thing in 1979, and they found it.
An idea that was brilliantly examined in the film 2010, The Year We Make Contact, starring Roy Schneider, John Lithgow, and Helen Mirren. Released in 1984, it was the long-awaited sequel to Stanley Kubrick's 1968 blockbuster, 2001, A Space Odyssey. What's interesting to note about the movie 2010 is the closing scene. In that scene, we see two suns in the sky. Assuming that Planet X is a brown dwarf, is it possible that reality could mimic fiction and that we actually see two suns in the next 5 years? Yes, we could.
The number one thing that people should take notice of is that the Earth will undergo a great number of earthquakes, many more than it's ever seen in our recorded history. They're much larger. They're larger and they're more frequent. They're not occurring just on the major fault lines on the planet. They are occurring everywhere in diverse places.
What we learned as a result of following this disinformation that is flooding the world from out of London is that Planet X is not behind the sun, as Nancy Leader says. That Planet X is not out where people think it is with these hoax addresses on the sky programs, like Wake the Sky and what have you. What they were doing was, with disinformation, remember, you want to deflect attention, you want to distract people, because it's not about being right or wrong. It's irrelevant to disinformation. It is about exhausting people's attention. They have a limited interest span. So what you do is you piddle it away with pointless, just keep them, taking them down rabbit holes, and then finally they're going to walk away from the field. And that's what they're doing. So what do? They stampede everybody towards the sun with bogus cell phone photos. Then they go to Soho, and they're finding aberrations on Soho. Soho, if Planet X is out there and Soho is seeing it, it's not going to see it in one little isolated frame out of thousands of frames taken in a day. You're going to see it and see it and see it and see it and see it. Folks wised up. We started seeing a lot of YouTubers out there going, hey, we're sick of this nonsense. So then they switched direction. They took everybody 180 degrees in the other direction. And they took them out to Orion with lost star panels and what have you. I mean, the sky databases are hopelessly corrupted by the elites, hopelessly corrupted. So they're just, for Planet X, they're useless. All you're going to find there is black squares and things that are just going to take you down rabbit holes.
They say we're going to scorch, but also they say we're also going to block out the sun and could be cold, too. So there's two different takes on that. If they had 40 years, they wouldn't be speeding up the move to Denver of the CIA, mm-hmm. the NSA. Everybody's cleared out of there.
Yeah, they all cleared out of Washington.
Because they're expecting the tsunamis and the earth changes.
I heard something that Washington, D.C., just in a few years, is going to be completely underwater.
So much for your promise. John, I would like to mention that I think we should begin to warn our audience that they should start really thinking about and working together with us in preparing for solar storms that I suspect and many other people suspect are going to be occurring this year or next year. Solar storms that could be so severe that two major catastrophes will result. One would be the destruction of our power grids, and that would throw us back into a primitive lifestyle. We would be overnight forced into, ancient ways of living. We've got a lot of evidence to indicate that these solar storms are coming soon. We could talk about Planet X and how it is exciting the sun and beginning to excite the sun after its this two-year low in solar activity, which I believe was due to Planet X passing below Jupiter and Planet X and its hordes of surrounding comets interacting electrically with Jupiter, drawing electrical fire away from the sun and toward Jupiter, but that was just a temporary lull before the storm. Now we can expect solar blasting. How are we going to prepare to live without power? Number two, how are we going to prepare to live when we are being blasted by the sun with temperatures scorching, burning up, people dying on the surface of the Earth from the intense solar blasting?
Weather and emergency management officials spent 2 days in Colorado this week. They were preparing for a storm far bigger than Katrina, one that could leave millions of people without electricity, running water, or phone service. This type of storm begins on the surface of the sun.
Tom Bogdan directs the Space Weather Prediction Center in Boulder. He was one of the U.S. officials who took part in a tabletop exercise there this week. It was based on massive solar storms that Craig Fugate, the administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, also took part in the tabletop exercise. He says it showed that in many ways solar storms are a lot like storms on Earth. But Fugate says a solar Katrina would present at least one unique challenge for agencies like his.
Unlike a lot of natural hazards that are point specific, this would actually occur depending upon the rotation of the Earth on the sunlit side, and then ultimately as the geomagnetic storm took place and the impacts on satellites, perhaps worldwide.
They've been watching these things for decades. This is nothing new. This is like, it's one of their biggest projects. It's billions and billions of dollars have been put into things like the SPT South Pole Telescope that launched fully in July of 2007, the Chandra X-ray Telescope that they launched a year ago, the SOFIA infrared telescope that was a German-made telescope put in an American Boeing jet that they can fly up to 40,000 feet and they can see infrared objects from space without any interference from water vapor. You realize the thing they're worried about is not that it's going to impact us, but then it's going to affect the inner solar system, and the most serious thing it's going to do, it'll trigger off a coronal mass ejection of the sun. That's the most likely thing to happen.
Enormous ring is developing on the sun. Sunspot 1112, located in the southeast quadrant, has been the source of a giant filament that is currently stretching 400,000 kilometers against the surface of the sun. However, today there appears to be a development of an enormous circular ring, which looks to be linking with the huge magnetic filament of sunspot 1112. Most of today's various wavelength images of the sun all show this feature over the SDO, or the Solar Dynamics Laboratory. A vast filament of magnetism is cutting across the sun's southern hemisphere today. A bright hot spot just north of the filament's midpoint is UV radiation from sunspot 1112. The proximity is no coincidence. The filament appears to be rooted in the sunspot below. If sunspot flares, it could cause the entire structure to erupt. Well, there's more good news for us. Well, what does all of this mean? There seems to be so many solar flares, solar issues, questions about the end of the world in 2012. I don't think so. But there's a lot going on weather-wise, in the atmosphere that we just don't understand. And all I can say is, be prepared. Be prepared.
You know, I asked my source about these chemtrails because, you know, I thought they're urban legend, that, and she thinks that they're coating the skies to protect us from these solar flares. And I don't believe they're spraying us to kill us, to poison us, and all that garbage, or saying something with HARP. You know, I think they are coating the skies.
You watch the sun activity. I watch the sun activity. It seems like there's some concern over this region that's getting us in its sights, I think, by tomorrow. You know, you think to yourself, right, if something major did go down and you're looking back on it, what would people be saying to themselves? Well, geez, people that talk about the stuff that I talk about, the stuff that you talk about, Sheldon, a lot of people think that we're paranoid or we fear-monger, stuff like that. But just because we talk about scary stuff, I mean, you kind of have to talk about it in order to, like you said, put the dots, connect the dots. And no, I don't think we'll ever get an official word that something's going to occur. Unless they give it to us when it's really too late for anybody to do anything about it. Remember when we were in all the headlines a couple months ago where all about a solar storm that we had? It made mainstream headline news. We had a major solar storm. They were calling it a solar storm. You know, mainstream media, that thing got ejected off the sun, and it took a couple days to hit us, and they didn't bother making that headline news until, well, I know it came out on Drudge Report at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon was when they finally switched the main headline to incoming solar storm or whatever it was. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, geez, these guys knew that it left like Sunday, and here it is Wednesday, and they're telling us like 3-4 hours before it's going to actually hit the planet. It didn't make me feel too secure. But my point is, if something major did happen, and, you know, people can say, oh, well, you know, hey, Darren's being a little paranoid. He's talking about the web buy and trying to piece all these things together. But really, that's the only way you can do it. And if something did happen, you're looking back on it, you look back at the signs that you possibly missed. I mean, a filament that can reach from the sun to our moon seems like that's something that we should take fairly seriously, I think.
You see, when Charles F. Richter developed the Richter scale, he died around 84. The powers that be knew what would be happening 25 years in the future, which is right now, which was more earthquakes and more severe earthquakes. And they wanted to keep people asleep. So they did that one full number downgrade, which is 1,000%.
NASA scientists are searching right now for an invisible death star that apparently circles the sun, which catapults potentially catastrophic comets at the planet. The star is known as Nemesis. It's 5 times the size of Jupiter. Could this also be the so-called Planet X? We'll talk with Stan Deo about that. Scientists are convinced that there's a comet that comes around and plays havoc with the planet. Could this be like a Planet X that people have been talking about?
In my opinion, it could be. Comets or comet-like bodies don't have to be dirty snowballs. It could be any kind of a body out there, and there is something close right now, say in the last 50 years is now in my terms, that has been perturbing or disturbing the orbits of Neptune and the next planet in, which is Uranus, two big planets, part of what they call the Jovian or big planet. Mm-hmm. And they can't find out what it is. It's certainly not Pluto, because it's like a gnat compared to the mass of Neptune and Jupiter, and Pluto just occasionally swings by Jupiter every 250 years or so. So, yes, the comet thing they're looking for, this Planet X thing, the unknown thing they're looking for, it's not necessarily the one of the Mayan 2012 prophecies and all that kind of stuff.
Well, folks, we'll be coming into the top of the hour break. We have quite a few tracks left to play on. This is a 3-hour show tonight. You're listening to The Light of Day. We're live Saturday night, November 6, 2010. And this is Jason Rand you're hearing talk about Planet X right now on this particular track. We're on track number 23, and I got 47 tracks to play here. So this will probably cover the entire second hour. I'm just waiting for the break to kick in. You're listening to Light of Day and Orion. I believe this is show number... maybe number 34. I didn't check it before I went on air, but I hope folks are enjoying this and becoming aware that, well, there's the break. We'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
The Orion Talk Radio Network is here.